Welcome to the Arts and Antique Radio Show, where your host, nationally recognized certified appraiser Elizabeth Stewart, Santa Barbara's treasure sleuth, will help you put a value on the treasures in your own home.
Every time it rains, pennies from heaven. Don't you know each cloud contains pennies from heaven?
So let's find out. How valuable is it?
Hello, 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 Santa Barbara. It's your chantress of everything valuable and beautiful, Elizabeth Stewart. And I am joined today by Anna Kutula. And Anna's an actress with the Ojai Art Center Theater. And she brought to my attention that it was the 85th Art Center's birthday. And they're doing a benefit in Ojai, which is a series of one-act plays. And they are all fascinating. And Anna got together a bunch of actors today for us, and we're going to talk to the actors in a little bit about the plays themselves. Anna, would you introduce everybody that's here for me?
Sure. So again, my name is Anna Kutula, and I am the producer on this show, which we are calling the One Acts, for the Ojai Art Center Theater. And you know, we call ourselves Ojai Art Center Theater, O-A-C-T. So OAX, One Acts. And it's true, it's the 85th anniversary, which is a big deal for us. We are compiling this evening of four short stories presented to you by four actors. And we actually just have Lynn Van Emmerich, who is one of the actors, and we have Ashley Osler, who has been the co-director and sort of the wind beneath our wings in this journey. We're really, really excited about these four stories. There are, I'd like to tell you the names of them. One is called Two Sisters, and it was written by our director and his wife, Steve and Liz Grumet. And then we have a father and daughter playwright team that wrote two of the plays called Spry, and the next title is Robert De Niro Ate Here. And these are by Peter and Elizabeth Serto from Pennsylvania, and they're coming the weekend of May 10th to do a talk back. They're really an interesting father and daughter team. She is an attorney. He is an entrepreneur who makes hot sauce right now out of mushrooms. and we always like to remind people that the Ojai Art Center Theater is an incredible organization that is not just theater, but it comprises eight different art branches: film, photography, music, children's focused activities, art, an incredible art gallery is housed there. And it's really an essential place for our community. And this one act presentation is in the spirit and the celebration of this 85th anniversary. So that's my intro.
Okay, so in this, I also want to mention that the Ojai Art Center Theater is the longest continuously operating multidisciplinary center in California. And so it's a center for the arts, and it's been a center for the arts for longer than any other center for the arts in California. It's quite amazing. And I always like to have Ojai intellectuals and creatives on the air, because it's such a unique community. I mean, the community itself is 8,500 people, and from the, and it can contrast that to Santa Barbara, which is 90,000 people. So at 1/10 of the size, the artistic production is kind of similar. It's pretty amazing what you guys do up there. So I want to hear a little bit about the plays, but Anna, would you introduce Lynn and Ashley a little bit, and what their roles are, what they perform?
Sure, sure. So Lynn is actually in the production. Ashley is co-director. I am in the production. So you have two actors here out of four that are in this show. And Lynn Van Emmerich plays my sister in the first act. And then she also plays the wife of a fellow and in an act called Limbo, which is sort of poignant revelations about long married couples and how they grapple with mortality. You know, there's a diagnosis of cancer, and there's just unexpected twists and turns that happen in it. But I should let, and Lynn, I'd love for you to tell us, I'd love for her to share about herself, because she's been a long time participant at the Ojai Art Center Theater. And what year did you start working there, Lynn?
I think it was 99 or 2000. I did a youth production sort of last minute. Hey, we need some help. And I thought, sure. And then my first full production was Equus. We tackled that baby. So, long time.
Lynn, are you a full-time actor?
I am not. As far as it doesn't pay my wage, or, you know, rent. Although I suppose many actors can say the same. It is a passion. It is something I love to do. I did tour with a repertory theater company for many years, and I still work with that nonprofit. But the last production I did with them was probably about 6 months ago. So as I get longer in the tooth, I think my acting is slowing down.
Tell me about this play, this Limbo. I'd love for you to do, if you can, is do some dialogue from the play, or in your case, it's monologue from the play. But if you can think of a little bit that you could do for us,
a fun line, like I don't know which 50 we're fighting for or something.
Yeah, well, it's a couple, and he's come to Temple to sort of renew his faith. He, I believe, I'm feeling as the wife that he's there trying to hedge his bet and get back to God and get right there. So he talks a lot about atoning. And I'm just trying to be, as the wife, uplifting and supporting. And, you know, the doctor says, you're getting well. You have an excellent chance. And he says, no, the doctor said good. And I said, well, all right, good. Well, actually, the doctor said fair. So, okay, you're getting better. Your appetite is back. So we talk a little bit about that. He talks about his fear. They're becoming grandparents for the first time in a few months. And he really wants to see this grandchild and hope it's raised in the faith. And they discuss their own children who are both atheists at the moment. So it covers a lot of ground in a very short period of time. They discuss earlier bits of their relationship as well. And they still have a very strong connection with each other, even though they're very diverse in how they approach life. She's a little more trying to be uplifting and a little positive, and he's a little more a little less so, shall we say. So
yeah,
right. And it is a comedy. There's a lot of real funny moments.
There are some fun bits in there. Yes.
Yeah.
And who plays your husband, Lynn?
Steve Grumet.
Okay.
He's the overall director of these things. I think he and Anna have really taken the bit in their teeth and run with this project, along with Ashley, who's
right. And because
invaluable.
Steve has worn so many hats, director, he's actor, he's also an author. We are really fortunate to have Ashley, because you can't wear all those hats without support. And we've had a really interesting run of this play. I mean, run up to the opening, which is tonight. We run for 3 weekends. It goes May 3rd to the 19th, like Friday and Saturdays. The show's at 7:30 and Sunday at 2. But one thing happened, and we had sort of a miracle happen on our show, where last Saturday we lost one of our actors to some health issues, and a key actor, like our star, And I'm not laughing because that was a good thing. It was really scary. And that was the best thing for him. And that was Buddy Wilds. And we wish him the very best in healing. And we think he's going to be fine. But we brought on Brian Robert Harris, who is one of Ventura's favorites. And he directed Meteor Shower at the beginning of this year. He played Rothko in Red at the Art Center, which was a fantastic play. He's done so many productions, and he came in and in 1 week, he's nearly off book and doing a fantastic job. And we could not have done that without an incredible amount of cooperation and grit within a core group of our team. And I want to say that Ashley has really been, like I said before, sort of the wind beneath our wings as a show. So I'd like to, what do you think about all that, Ashley?
I'd say this is Ashley. I'd say also that Brian got off book, not with this one piece, but two pieces, and that one act, people, you know, might think, oh, well, one act, it's just a one act. So it's only, you know, 20 pages or 30 pages or 50 pages or whatever the length should be of a one act. But all of these actors are taking on two different characters. And it's a big job to do that. Not only in that, because when you come into a character, you have to get naked and get into their clothes. So it's a little bit of a mind jumble to do that. But it's also, it's just a different world, each character. So these folks are doing great with that. And yay for Brian Harris coming in and just whipping both of those out. And he's going to be exciting to watch in these next 3 weeks, as are all the other actors. But I just want to give a big cheer for all the actors in taking this on, because doing two characters in a short amount of time, rehearsal time, it's a big deal.
Ashley, what's your background?
Well, I'm originally from the East Coast, and I started off as a kid in theater, going to New York as a young girl and getting involved with theater there. And then ultimately having a theater company in New York City, down in East Village before there were streetlights. So I've been in it. And then I got into the music business and was doing some, you know, photo albums in the 80s, stuff like that. And then got out into Los Angeles and got into production. I was a script supervisor for a long time, and then have been working in production in other capacities as well. And I'm coming back into my acting in these last couple years, and I'm not getting paid full time, but I'm working it full time. So watch out, I'm back.
Right, we did a production.
Which is, it's fun because Lynn was just saying, getting long in the tooth and coming back into being an actor and stuff. It is different. It's very different to come back into it. I think especially as a woman, maybe for men too, but it's just it's a whole different body. It's a whole different brain. And long in the tooth is true for older actors because memorization is different.
Really?
Yeah, it's difficult. There are a lot of people that work that are of an older age, and they've got mics in their ears, you know. It's something that at some point people just say, if they're established enough, they just say, oh, forget it, you know.
I'm interested to know, you said that there's a difference in memory. So when you're memorizing your lines for the play,
You know, there's this saying, read the play 1,000 times. And I remember when I came out to Los Angeles and I was doing some plays and stuff, I would just keep the play in, like, literally in my pocketbook. And it felt like, it's always there. It felt like, oof, I'm close to that world. And I would try to read it as often as possible. And memorization would come easier. There's just a different process in the brain as you get older for memorization. You got to read the play 2,000 times.
Oh, interesting. Anna, what now? Can you elaborate on that?
Well, you mean the process of memorizing your lines?
Right. I know you've been in theater for your entire life. Yes.
Yeah. I mean, it's everyone has their strategy, but, you know, I have this saying, my daughter's into theater as well. And we sort of talk about our process, and she's a very quick study. She's a very young, she's going to be 17, Corby Kotula. But we talk about the process of learning lines as a very deep process, because once you learn your lines, you're off book, you're off the book, but then you have to learn how to, like, you can get distracted. So you have to be off the, how the other person is reacting, and you don't know what that's going to be. So you have to be off the other person, and then you have to be off the audience, because you don't know when they're going to laugh, or if somebody's going to trip and fall during your performance, or if the lightning strikes or whatever. So you have to be off the audience, and then off, well, I guess I've already said it, unpredictability. So you have to know your lines, so it goes that deep that nothing can derail you. That you can fast forward and you can rewind, and you know where you are all the time. That's a different kind of learning. And as you get older, unfortunately, that process is probably a little bit longer, but I wouldn't say that it is something that older people can't do. It's actually really super good for our brains to work our mind like that. And we should, and memorization is probably one of the best things you can do for health and of your brain, and keeping everything working up there, you know, that, or go learn a language, or go learn piano, like learn something new. And I have a few different, I play a lot of roles on stage, but I also play a lot of roles in life. Yeah. And I am a clinical doctor of physical therapy. And I very fondly remember in my neuroscience courses, you know, my teacher passionately making the case that as you age, you need to be working on your learning ability. And so it's really good for your brain to have to engage in memorization and stories, you know.
So I have a question for you, Anna, that, you know, I know about your practice as a physical therapist. I've interviewed you before, and I know about your daughter's interest and her talent, and we've talked about that on the air. But here's a question for you, and maybe Lynn and Ashley can help me with this. So by virtue of just your bio, you are a kinetic person. So you're body centered, right? So, and I'm looking at Lynn, and of course, dear listener, you can't see what I see because Richard's got us on video as well. But Lynn's background is yards and yards of books. So I will make the assumption that perhaps Lynn as an actor is more mind-centered as opposed to body-centered. And Ashley, I don't know, I can't make a prediction by what I see, but it looks like that maybe we can assume that Ashley has learned by experience, because she's had so many different experiences in the theater as the front, we used to call back of house, front of house people, you know, so she's got both parts of that going on. And I'm wondering, Anna, can you reflect on your process as a body-centered, or maybe I'm making an assumption that isn't true, but as a body-centered actor?
You mean, well, yeah, I mean, that's an interesting thing to say. I mean, I'm very, very, I've always been super, super interested in movement. And when I studied theater at NYU, I was in the experimental theater wing where we studied like Grotowski, and it was a very movement oriented approach. It was a physical, there was like, I think that they would say this is like a physical actor approach. So like, sometimes I feel like when I'm learning my lines, I could almost learn them with how I'm using my body. I put them in my body. But that's not always a good thing, because then you're indicating too much.
So what do you mean by that? You're indicating too much.
Yeah. You know, like there's, just give me too much. I mean, like, but you can always make a dress smaller. So with an actor, I think it's probably better if they give you too much that you can pare down rather than like you're trying to get them to, you know.
Oh, I see. It's that expression to chew on the scenery kind of thing. Yeah. Okay. Yes. Okay. And so Lynn, can you reflect on that? What's your process like vis-a-vis what Anna was just saying?
As far as learning lines or inhabiting a character?
No, as far as your approach to a character. So I'm making the assumption that Anna, because of her background, doctor of physical therapy, that she is probably a body-centered learner. And I'm reflecting on this because I have a sister who's a SAG-AFTRA actor in Chicago. Hmm. And so she started as a dancer years ago, and she's in her 50s now. Started as a dancer, but she had trouble learning in general if it wasn't through the body. Mm-hmm. So she'd literally have to, you know, in school, she'd literally have to have a body-centered approach to learning. I was just the opposite, you know, basically, if I can remember if she had a malady, if she was ill, if there was something wrong with her body, she had a real problem with adjusting to life, you know, those. With me, it didn't matter. I could use my head, you know, pain didn't matter that much. So, it was different types of approaches that people have. I would assume that Anna, by just virtue of what she was saying, is a very kinetic approach to character development. How about you?
I am an avid reader, or have been in the past. I've lived a lot of different lives. So, my work in the Forest Service, I can't say I've ever played a tree, but I've met people through a lot of different walks of life. And certainly when I was touring, one night you're meeting people who are part of the orchestra of the New York Philharmonic. And then the next night you're staying with folks who have an apple farm. I like to approach a character material, especially just reading it, becoming overly familiar with it. If I have the time, if I have the luxury of time and I don't have to start with strict memorization, if possible, I like to maybe a different walk, a different gesture pattern. In both the plays that I'm doing here, I have a limitation in Sisters, which I've personally experienced. So I'm able to bring that to the character and how she feels about what she's experienced in life and how her sister has been an integral part of her, in a sense, surviving the process of becoming who she now is from the vibrant person she once was.
So I want to interrupt you for a second, if I might. I'd love to hear more about that because it confused me when I was doing the background research for today. It confused me that the play is called Two Sisters and it's Steve and it's a man and a woman, right?
So they wrote Steve, the play.
They're the authors. So a husband and wife team wrote it, but Anna and I are the two sisters in the play.
I see. Oh, I see. I read that wrong. Okay. So I want to hear more about the background of those two sisters because we have both of you here. And I'm also wondering, do you feel comfortable about doing a little dialogue around that from the play?
Sure.
Yeah. So Richard's giving us a sign we got to go to quick break. Maybe you can find a little bit of material from the play to read to us and then maybe describe what the sisters are thinking and feeling. And we can kind of get into the heads of an actor this way as we're talking about the approach to the character. And I'd love to center more on that. So Richard, let's go to a quick break. And thankfully we are all hearing everyone beautifully, Richard, thank you. So let's go to a quick break. We get back from the break. We're gonna talk a little bit more about the two sisters is one act play. And just to reintroduce, I am talking with actors from the Ojai Arts Center Theater one act series that's opening tonight. And it's going to run for 3 weeks. This is the 85th anniversary of the theater. And it's a really big deal because that means it's the oldest art center of its kind in California, a little Ojai. I always am so impressed with the kind of people that make these creative events happen up there. Don't turn that down. Back in a sec. Welcome back. It's Elizabeth Stir. We're talking with Anna Katula. She actually brought to my attention that Ojai Art Center Theater is 85 as of today. And this is the opening night for a series of one-act plays. And it's sort of by the stars of Ventura, Ojai area that are performing. And they have picked these plays. The authors come from all over the country. And I asked Anna and Lynn Van Emmerich, if they could do a little reprise of the play that they're in together called Two Sisters, written by Steve and Liz Grimmett. Steve has been instrumental at the theater for years. I've interviewed him many times as an actor, as a director, as a producer, et cetera, instrumental. And now he's a playwright as well. Maybe, Anna, can you introduce where you're, or maybe Ashley, introduce where they're starting.
All right. Well, these two have been living together for a long time, and I'm not going to give everything away, but there are good reasons for that. And there's been some news that's just come over the telephone, and Anna, who plays the younger sister, has a pretty strong point of view about that. It's not great news as far as she's concerned. And so the two of them get into it a little bit, as sisters do. And, but this is, it's a very, it's, you know, place, home is a big deal amongst siblings. It's a big deal in plays. Place is very, very important. It's another character in all plays. And so for these ladies, they're discussing place, which is their home. And they've just had a little bit of a row about it. And they're coming back to their, you know, sisterly experiences when they were younger. It's just a very sweet moment. And did you find that page?
Yeah, it's page 10.
Okay, great. So, yeah, so they've just had a little bit of a difficult moment, and they're coming back together.
Okay, so I'll start. I play Susan. The last 20 years have been such a role reversal for me. And I don't think I ever really got used to it. Do you remember when you came home from college for summer vacation that first year? I must have been about 4 or 5 then. That was the first time I'd really spent any time with you.
Oh, yes. I remember it very well.
That was the year Mom broke her leg skiing and you spent the whole summer taking care of me. I had much more fun than I ever did with Mom.
Well, Mom and Dad were always so busy with the store.
Hey, do you remember the time we went on the Ferris wheel and got stuck at the very top?
How could I forget? The wind made the gondola swing back and forth, and you got scared and started to cry.
And you held me and told me to close my eyes so I wouldn't look down, and then started telling me fairy tales to distract me.
Oh, I remember.
I guess we must have been up there for about an hour, but it sure seemed a lot longer.
And when they finally got us down, they gave us both ice cream cones. cheap insurance against the lawsuit, I guess.
That summer was one of the best times of my life.
And here we are now, eh?
Good.
Here we are now.
Excellent. So what's going on? There's something about a will? Disclosures from a family will?
Correct. Yeah.
Yeah, they've just had, Susan's just had some news. A phone call came in when Lynn's character is out of the room. And it's I don't want to give it all away, but her, you know, this is the stuff of the play, but her lawyer has called and Susan has picked up the phone, and she's learned that her sister's changed the will without discussing it with her.
And it was done quite a long time ago, and it was unexpected. So they sort of discuss, I believe, expectations and assumptions, and then we get into the real nitty gritty of what was going on at the time and why the will got changed, and how each character is affected, not only by the events that caused the change of the will, but their relationship now.
Right. Was the will done by the parents, or was the will done by the elder sister?
Yes, but it's changed an assumption the younger sister had, and that peaks that begins an argument.
Okay. And so you mentioned that, or Ashley mentioned that that there. It has to do with place. And I am, you know, I'm an appraiser, so I get to participate in a lot of preparation for wills and estates when there's a collection of art and antiques and valuable things. So I have participated for years in preparation for wills. Normally, and then when the will is actually read or probated, usually I'm in the room to describe to the heirs, you know, this is this artist, this painter, this blah, 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 blah. And I'm describing, you know, the kind of collection that the parents have left to the children. And the fight is not necessarily about place as much as it is about money.
You know, that's so interesting.
Go ahead, Ashley.
There's in what I've gleaned from reading many plays is that there's a sense of, and there's actually a saying about this about literature and that it's not about the money, it's about the love. Families fight because it you know, comes up because of will, somebody gets less, somebody gets the house, like in this one, they're discussing that in the will. And what my sense is that it's not ever about the money. It's about, yes, it's loss of place, but place I also meant like family within the place. It's a loss of the love of a parent. It's the loss of, you know, by the death of a parent. I think it's about emotion more than, it's about unfulfilled needs of children. Even when parents die, when they're adults, they fight, right? So, yeah. Yeah.
So I have to say, actually, it's an interesting concept. I don't completely agree, a small rebuttal. I don't completely agree because there, it seems that there's different, like we were talking about, different ways of learning. There's different ways of accepting loss. One of the key ways is to transfer, it's sort of what they call transference, I guess, psychological transference. You put it into a material thing.
Yeah.
And, you know, especially people that have grown up with you know, let's say a fine house, a fine art collection, et cetera, et cetera. They are taught that the material matters, you know, and so and they're shown that the material matters in the fact that this is a collection of objects.
Right.
Let's say.
Interesting, isn't it? Yeah.
I would go so far as to say there's also award and reward. What you feel you deserve are what is given to you because of your behavior, because of your relationship. Is that an award or is that a reward? And there's a slight difference between the two, and a difference in the expectation or the entitlement factor therein, which as you say, can be a transference of there's the loyalty, there's the love, there's the, you know, I took over the family business, whatever it is. There are certain sacrifices that are made by both parent and child in a relationship that at some point can become a triggering factor.
Mm. Now, are these sisters married?
No, they're both neither. Single, and they live together. And I guess one more thing about that. You know, I I hear this conversation about money and love, but it's like, it's my character has been living in this home. I mean, your home is a reflection of yourself. Like, you know, everything is so familiar to me. This is, you know, there's an ownership that I live there with my sister in my space. And then my sister would pass away and I'd have to give up my home and lose my sister. So that is a conflict, you know, that, that she has to really grapple with. So.
I see. So, I was going to say that the reason I asked if the sisters were married, because it makes a difference. And I'll actually, I want to continue on this slight rebuttal to the centrality of love in the case of a loss. I think with blood family that are it truly a tight family, I see that happen where they do understand that they're feeling sad because of the loss of the love, but usually it's the spouse that is advocating for the, you know, that let's say the wife, let's say in this case, the husband is advocating for the wife to have her rightful place.
Yeah.
And it's usually the spouse that I've experienced in my, you know, 20, 30 years of doing what I do. It's the spouse that's going to bat for, because, you know, the idea is, oh, you know, my poor husband or wife is in the grief process. She's not going to get what she or he deserves.
Yeah, get the money.
And then we go back to what Lynn is talking about, the award reward that maybe this play is going to bring us, you know, insight into. Go ahead, Ashley.
Yeah. Oh, well, I just think this is so interesting. I think that we should write a play, the four of us. Got some good stuff here. Yeah. Well, these sisters are grappling with the things of life, and it's about relationships. Susan's outside relationship, a love that she had that maybe she didn't get to continue to pursue because of her allegiance to taking care of her sister. So relationship does come into it, even though they're not married. Lynn's character, her husband has passed, so she's had a long relationship, where Susan still needs to fulfill that part of her life. And yeah.
So I have a question for Anna, which is so interesting, Anna. It's just occurred to me, and then we'll go to quick break, but I want you to talk about this when we get back from the break. So in this little one act play, you're a single sister living in a house with mainly a feminine surrounding. So, and then you played Emily Dickinson.
Yes, that's true.
Same deal. I mean, you know, it's very similar. And yet in your life, you are not that girl at all.
Right.
Not that girl at all. So I want you to reflect on that a little bit, because we have Anna who is playing against type, really, when you think about it. Richard, let's go to quick break. And when we get back, it's very interesting. We're talking about the performances that will happen at the Ojai Art Center Theater, a series of 4 1 acts. And this is a special 85th anniversary theatrical benefit where they have handpicked these one acts with some of the stars of the Ojai Art Center Theater performing. And we've got Ashley with us and Lynn Van Emmerich and Anna Kotula, who are speaking to us, and Ashley Osler is speaking to us about the one act performances. And the opening night is tonight. And I just want to, you can all get tickets. It's going to run till May 19th. And you're going to visit ohiact.org, or you can call 805-640-8797 for your night out there as well. So, Richard, we'll go to quick break. We get back from the break. Anna's going to talk to us about being innocent, virginal, and single, which she is not. Okay, don't turn that down. Welcome back. It's Elizabeth Stewart, and I'm speaking with Linda and Emmerich, Anna Kutula, Ashley Ulsler, and of course, Richard is producing for us. And we're talking about the Ojai Art Center Theater, a series of one-act plays opening tonight. Two Sisters is the play that we're talking about right now. And we've gotten into a kind of an interesting conversation because the sisters are, they live together. There's been an announcement of something happening in the will, in which the home where they both share is at question. And we won't say anything more about that. But I mentioned to Anna how interesting it was. I just was listening to a little bit of the dialogue from the play, played by Anna and Lynn. And my gosh, this reminds me of her performance in Emily Dickinson, as Emily Dickinson, because she is a single sister living in amongst female relationships. Anna, tell me, and I mentioned Anna, it doesn't sound like what I know of Anna. She's kind of playing against type, but go ahead, Anna, tell me.
Oh yeah, that's very different from me as personally, because I'm married and I have kids and I did not live the single life, but in this play, she could have had the married life, but she didn't, because she attributes that to the choices that she made in having to care for her sister. So that is part of the conflict. And it's, and life is complicated. Like, she completely missed out on this incredible relationship, which she enjoyed for a period of time, but it ended because she couldn't really be with him fully because she had to be there for her sister. And yet being there for her sister brought an incredible amount of joy. So I can relate in my life, because life for everybody is complicated. And you know, the beauty of life is changing your perspective and being able to have gratitude for, you know, how it turned out, and looking at your cup half full. And so I can relate to that with this character, in that, you know, she had this amazing relationship and it gave her so much, but she's also really values the relationship she had with her sister. And then there's the future, which is how she can be an artist and how that relationship is going to inform her future as an artist. So there are real human themes that I think I, as the person, you know, Anna, can relate to. But can I just say one more thing? Like, these plays, like, this is really thick, kind of, you know, this is the most dramatic of the three plays. The rest have a nice bit of comedy. And can I just say something about the second play? Because it is hilarious. A father visiting his dad in a retirement home. His dad is 96 years old. And the conversation unfolds where his dad is the son is discovering that the dad not only has a girlfriend, but they got married and then she's pregnant. And she's like in her 20s and he's in his 90s. And just the ridiculousness of that and just how they go through that conversation is absolutely hilarious. And again, Brian Robert Harris is a star. And, you know, Steve Grumet understands the material to such incredible detail that the two of them, you know, they may really make it work. So
yes, I wanted to mention that. Steve's worked on the play. It's something that he worked on a while back. So it's really great that he could come and revisit it and bring all the humor that he has now in his life to the part. And I also want to say that with Two Sisters, that it's really great that we have a piece written by a local author, Steve Grumet, and that this is workshopping this piece for him. You know, it's the first time that it's been put up. And it's wonderful that the community is here to celebrate the 85th anniversary and support their artist, especially with a new piece of work. It's a wonderful, wonderful way to celebrate the 85th university anniversary. Yeah. Yeah.
Just a quick one, Ashley, can you tell us what Robert De Niro Ate Here is about? That's another play that's going to be the one act. It's the final play.
Yeah, well, it's there's some themes that thread through all of these pieces. And in Robert De Niro It's about a daughter and father who have, he has a restaurant that the daughter's been involved with her, you know, her whole life. And the father's going through a change in that somebody that he loved dearly, but he hates her too, his wife, has had some challenges with her health. And so he's a bit on edge because he's got this news. And then Anna's character, Colleen, it's Vito and Colleen, by the way, and Anna's character is going through her own issues, which is she's looking at divorce. She's not happy. She's not happy with her life. And Vito, being the good Catholic Italian that he is, there's a big issue about talking about divorce because he didn't divorce his mother, even though he can speak to his daughter and talk all of the hate about the mother and, you know, how awful she was. There's still a deep love for the mother, and he's troubled by what's coming on with the news that he has about her health. And so it's a really interesting dynamic because they're both going through a big change of life, and it's sweet and it's funny.
Who plays the father?
This is Brian Robert Harris.
Yeah. Okay.
Who is playing a dynamo character.
And his character is Vito.
Yeah. Yeah, it suits him as a dynamo actor. So he's playing this character, Robert De Niro, and he's also playing the son in Spry.
So if you're interested to see these plays, ohiact.org. See you guys. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.